This is Big Fat Marketing episode number 20, and today we're going to be talking to Kathy Wong. Kathy Wong is going to be sharing with us her idea that literally started off as a dream and ended up being a full product that she now manufactures and sells. Get a load of this one.
Discover the most cutting-edge business and internet marketing strategies and how to generate more traffic, leads, and sales. This is Big Fat Marketing.
Big Fat Marketing is brought to you by Social Media Worldwide. Go to www.managemyposts.com to get your 7 days free trial, where you'll get your social media managed for you so you can focus on the things that matter most and make money for your business and let Social Media Worldwide drive the traffic. Go to www.managemyposts.com.
G'day guys, how's it going? Hope you're well. Hope you're having a great day. And once again, welcome to Big Fat Marketing. It's Ray Canoon here again. And again, I wish you are having a great day, enjoying your day. And I truly hope today that you do get some great inspiration from this episode of Big Fat Marketing. We have a special guest by the name of Kathy Wong. Now, have you ever thought of an idea that you wanted to basically create from scratch, manufacture, and bring it into this country and start selling, making really cool money? Well, that's what Kathy Wong has done. And the thing is, the crazy thing about Kathy Wong is that this thing, what she created, started off as a dream. Literally, she woke up one night and said, I have to do this. And the longer she left it, the more it was actually bugging her and the more dreams she had and pretty just pointed her in the right direction in order to want to start something. Now, so literally a dreamer here. And she's going to be sharing with us her brand that she created, which is called MoLoco. And MoLoco is a combination of words. It's Mo means dream in Hawaiian and Loco means crazy in Spanish. Obviously, you probably know that. And I thought that was a great way to actually creating a brand name for a product, just combining two different languages together and basically just creating one word and branding it. That's fantastic. And there's an idea for you just there. So Kathy basically had a dream, thought of the idea, and she went overseas, it got it created, and here it is today. It's called MoLoco, and she's selling it to the rest of the world. Now, here's the kicker. Here's the thing that what she does, which is great, okay, which is fantastic. Each time someone actually buys her product, a portion of that money goes to a charity of hers, which we're going to get into, which she's going to be sharing with you today in this podcast. And that's her way of saying, you know, when you buy her products, you feel good on the outside, which is the stylish flip-flops that she sells, and you feel good on the inside because you know you're actually giving away a little bit of money to a good cause. So isn't that fantastic? Isn't that a great way to motivate yourself to do something? Now, I believe that people that are motivated by money and there's people that are motivated by helping others. And if you're having troubles actually motivating yourself to create money, the next best thing to do is to, you know, do exactly what Kathy did. Okay, start a line of products and basically donate a portion of that money to people that are in need of it. So I think that's fantastic. And we're going to hear about it today in this podcast. So ladies and gentlemen, here she is, Kathy Wong. Welcome to Big Fat Marketing.
Hi, Ray. Thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, thank you for jumping on and agreeing to do this because you are very unique in my eyes there, Kathy, because you have started a company where you've actually pretty much introduced a new product line to people and something that actually portrays a positive message, which I truly love. And I had to get you on this show and I'm truly excited. And I'm sure people on that listen to Big Fat Marketing will be really inspired to what you have to say. So again, I really appreciate your time.
No problem. Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to talk to you.
Great. Look, now what caught my attention is and the reason why I wanted to get you on the show is because, you know, the creativity is key. Now, creativity is what, you know, what led to the personal computer. Creativity is what led to the everyday automobile, the car. And what you are introducing to the marketplace here today is creativity, and we're going to get into that a little bit later on down the track. Because I'll let you talk about that, but I'm just getting a little bit excited up front here, anyway. So, so why don't you start by telling us a little bit about yourself and what made you create the company Soul Republic?
Okay. Well, I mean, that's a very interesting story, actually, you know, because my background is one of being a designer, and that's all I've really known all my life. Mm. And that was back in the days of the dark ages, where I worked in the corporate land, trained as a designer, and started my own corporate design company. And we worked with a lot of big brands and both private and public companies doing that. And then after about 19 years of doing that, I took a little break from the business world. And then, you know, I've always had the passion of creativity and had a very fortunate life, actually. For the last 9 years, I wasn't doing a lot except pretty much doing my own art. I became an artist and I transformed myself into a mixed media artist, actually, in the area of jewelry, Ray. And so I really, really loved that, and I actually got an accreditation. I started teaching people how to make mixed media jewelry. So, you know, we took everything from babies' nappy liners to industrial offcuts to, you know, rocks you might find on a beach to make jewelry out of. And I did that for about 4 years until I decided that I needed to go and do something else with my life. And, you know, this is going to sound really corny, but one day in February this year, I just woke up from a sleep. It was actually a deep sleep. Haven't had one of those for a while. And I had these words come to me very, very strongly, which said, make a difference. And, you know, I thought, wow, am I dreaming this? You know, maybe I'm still, you know, half asleep. And then I realized after I'd fully awoken that these words were still, you know, coming straight in front of my eyes. It was still ringing in my ears. And this message just kept coming back to me as I tried to ignore it. And it just kept becoming stronger and stronger. And this went on for a few weeks. And then I thought, wow, somebody's trying to tell me something here, you know. And so I thought, okay, well, how am I going to make a difference? And that's really how Soul Republic was born, because I thought about, you know, the power of words. It was something for me that has always been extremely helpful to me in my life, particularly when I had challenging times. And I suppose coming from a communication background, you know, I always had that affinity with words. And so that's kind of where I started. I decided that I would share positive messages and words with people across a social media platform, Facebook, and I developed the name Soul Republic. And that's what I did. I shared inspiration and positive words, creative images with, you know, the people who were following me on Facebook.
That's great. That's great. And with all the negative energy and all the negative media, all that's coming out on television, you know, it's good. It's very fresh to hear something, you know, positive messages, you know, being branded. I mean, for what you pretty much are all about, I've seen some of your other products and you actually portray a positive message through that. So that's fantastic. And is that one of the reasons that led you to wanting to create products that actually produce positive messages? Is that one of the reasons? Yeah.
Yeah, that's right, Ray. Very much so. You know, I just feel like, you know, I'm sure most of us do that, you know, life has become so fast. There's so much noise. There's so many, I mean, you know, the world is suffering, right? It's not in a good place. So I just felt that, you know, if I can contribute to, even if it's just one person, to make their world seem a more positive, happy place, then, you know, I'm happy.
Great. That's really cool. It's a good outlook. All right. Now, a brand that got my attention that I have to get you on this podcast because was the brand Moe Loco. Now, how did that come about? Can you tell us a story about your brand Moe Loco and tell us a little bit about the product that you are creating, branded Moe Loco?
Sure. Well, you know, once I started this path with the positive words, I thought, you know, what can I do? What can I now do to take this further? And so I thought if I could share these words on, you know, products that are used every day so that there would be greater use of these words, you know, rather than being just on the net, on a piece of paper, you know, on a more two-dimensional mm-hmm. surface. And so I started exploring what type of products could I, you know, use for to be vehicles for these messages. And I went through, you know, a variety of different areas. I looked at things like clothing. I looked at homewares. I looked at stationery. And I was just down at the beach one day and I saw thongs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I started thinking about that. And I
see a lot of thongs at the beach when I go to the beach too. Which thongs are we talking about? The thongs on your feet or the
thongs? No, not those ones. The ones on your feet, exactly.
Depending which country you're talking to, I guess they're going to get it the wrong way. I saw thongs at the beach, yeah? Okay, so.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. No, that's a really, really good point. And so, yeah, I mean, I came up with the idea of using the flip-flops. And sorry, coming back to the first question, which is what does Moloko mean? Moloko is actually a word that I made up, which is taken from two words. Mo is from the Hawaiian word mahane, which means dream, mm-hmm. and loco is the Latin word for crazy. And so I put those two words together so that it translates to dream crazy. Because as far as I'm concerned, I mean, I've done a lot of crazy things in my life, Ray, but this one is actually my craziest one yet, because the cause that Moloko is actually a social cause product, and my particular cause is poverty, and particularly poverty with children.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, this is my journey to impact on world poverty with this project, and Moloko is my social cause product. So that's my vehicle to contribute to that.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about some of the charity work that you're doing, but I've got that on my agenda to actually ask you throughout this interview. But first, I just wanted to jump in and ask you, like, what made you create that the flip? Because what your flip flops are, they're just basically messages. When people walk, okay, on the sand, it produces like a positive message, right? Because it's engraved into the bottom of the sole of the bottom of the actual of the flip flop. Sorry.
Yeah, and, and you can't get that image out of your mind.
No, I cannot. Actually, I'm thinking beach. Yeah. I'm thinking hot weather. You know, it's really hot here in Sydney. And I'm thinking, we say thongs here in Australia, so that's what comes naturally, of course. Yeah. So, what made you create that impression, like underneath the thong, that actually to leave an imprint on the beach? How'd you come up with that idea?
Well, that is, yeah, good question. It's really related to the message and the story I wanted to tell to create the awareness around poverty. And, you know, we talk about what sort of social footprint are you leaving in the world?
Mm.
You know, and so the imprint in the sand plays around with that parallel, just as the whole shoe does. Because I got very interested in the plight of children without shoes in the world,
mm-hmm.
which apart from, you know, all the dreadful issues that are created around, you know, them getting diseases, which could possibly lead to gangrene and amputation of limbs and, you know, even death. There's also the issue of, in a lot of countries, if children don't wear shoes or have shoes, they cannot go to school.
Mm.
And, you know, as we know, by not having an education, that causes all sorts of issues in the, you know, with social, economic, financial issues, right?
Yeah.
So the imprint, the shoe, it's all related by having this parallel of what, you know, we're trying to create the awareness around, which is the children in poverty and the fact that, you know, they don't have shoes. So hence the idea of the imprints and the contrast between the positive messages that we're creating in direct comparison to what is the reality for these children living in these sorts of conditions.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think people certainly would buy them just for the gimmick side of things, you know, for the sake of just them walking and leaving a message behind. I think people will actually take upon your product because of that reason alone.
Yeah.
I mean, you've done it in a way where many people can benefit. You know, you've actually involved a charity in this, and you're actually creating a nice, because you come from a design background, and you're creating a beautifully designed thong.
Yeah, well, that's right. It's, you know, we talk about when you purchase a Moloko, you can feel good both on the outside and the inside, because on the outside, as you said, they're, you know, pretty, we think they're pretty cool products.
They
look good. Thank you. And then at the same time, you know, you can feel good knowing that you've contributed to a child in poverty.
Okay. And tell us a bit about that child in poverty. Where is that? Where is the actual some of that money going to?
Yeah, well, the way it works is we've collaborated with the Hope Foundation, and the Hope Foundation are actually an organisation that started in Ireland by an Irish woman called Maureen Cork about 30 years ago, because there are quite a few Hope Foundations around the world. And so Hope Ireland is also registered in Calcutta, where Hope actually own the majority of their orphanages. And Calcutta was of great interest to me because I don't know how much you know about this, Ray, but the area of, I mean, India is one of the most worst affected areas in the world for poverty, right? Yeah. And Calcutta is definitely one of the worst cities in the world. And so that's why, where and why Hope decided to put their energies into that country. And so for us, it was a perfect fit because we needed people on the ground. We needed, you know, we needed to concentrate on what we can do well, which is the creation of this product, going out, marketing it, taking out that, you know, message to the world, whilst Hope can look after the distribution of, you know, of the funds, of the shoes to get it to the kids that, that need it, you know. The operational side of doing that is not something that we have any experience in. And so that's why we needed to collaborate with someone like Hope, who had all the connections and had the ability to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. You might as well just collaborate with someone that's already doing it and make your life a lot easier as well at the same time. So you just focus on what you do best, which is the design.
Yes, that's right.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
So, okay, so now I want to talk to you a little bit about some marketing strategies that you have put in place with for MoLoco. Can you talk to us about that?
Yeah, well, I thought you might get onto that subject.
yeah, well, the show's called Big Fat Marketing.
That's right. Look, you know, being a lean startup, obviously, you know, there's not a lot of funds to do a lot of things, particularly the area of marketing. And thank goodness I've been very, very lucky to have, you know, lots of friends in marketing and a little bit of my own background in marketing so that we could, you know, pull these things together. But we're very much relying, our strategy is very much around publicity and social media and strategic collaborations, really. They're the three areas that we've been concentrating on because, well, even if we did have the funds, we felt with, you know, this type of product and the story that we have to tell, that these are still the best avenues for us.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You know, I totally agree because social media has become huge these days. You know, it's just taken a big impact on the way we do our marketing these days. So, yeah.
Well, that's right. And look, to tell you the truth, I've been such a dinosaur in that area. You know, I mentioned I took a break from business for 9 years, and during that time, everything had changed. So, you know, I returned to Sydney after being down in the Highlands for the last 9 years, came back here in September of last year, and it was like, well, what's Facebook, you know,
and
let alone Instagram and all these other things. And so I had an amazing, you know, steep learning curve to get on top of all these things in a very, very short space of time. And I'm still learning. However, I feel like, I've learned quite a lot in these last 8 months or so.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I mean, is that pretty much your marketing strategy? Is doing social media, public publicity as well? Is that free publicity you probably would go for? Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's been free publicity because, I mean, in terms of the publicity, you know, we've got a few angles that we can actually approach it from. We've got the pure fashion angle because of the nature of the product.
Yeah.
We've got the social enterprise angle and the inspiration angle. Then, you know, we've got the, and then, you know, there's the lifestyle angle as well and travel. So, we're lucky in that there's...
And don't forget the poverty angle as well.
Yes, and the poverty angle, of course, of course, that's right. So that gives us loads of, stories, I suppose, to be able to share, across all different sorts of media channels.
And what kind of media channels did you get exposed to?
Well, at the moment, we've been pretty much looking at the both, you know, digital media and then the print media. And we've also been, we've actually had a few, you know, radio interviews as well. And so we're now starting to look at television as well.
Fantastic.
So it's really early days, you know.
Mm. Yeah, fantastic. But like, you're taking the right approach, certainly taking out the right approach. And what caught my attention, what you just mentioned now, is the angle of approach you're taking to actually obtain these media connections. And would you say for someone that's starting out that wants to actually bring in a product, introduce a product line, or basically start a business, would you say that a great approach is to, you know, find out what your angle is, so when you do get approached, when you do get an opportunity to go with media, you'd actually have that angle ready? Would you say that's a great idea?
Yeah, I would say so. I think it's really important, you know, because media people are just so busy, like all of us, and they're getting approached continuously. And, you know, if you can't capture their attention in just a few seconds and make it really easy for them, they do not have time to think about the angle.
Yeah.
You need to, you know, bring that to them on a plate.
Yeah.
So you've really got to be very targeted with how you approach the media.
And you do that via press releases? Is that how you'd probably deliver it to them?
Yeah, it's been by press releases and a little bit of stalking. So I have only just started
What have I cut myself out for? I don't know.
Nice stalking.
Yeah, course. Okay. I know.
So, you know, building up relationships with people, making sure they're seeing you across social media, having little conversations. Because you would know that, you know, in marketing you need about 11 points of communication before somebody will even purchase from you, right?
Yeah.
So it's a case of looking for as many opportunities to build a relationship with somebody through, you know, without harassing them.
Yeah,
but,
of course.
Looking for different ways to be in contact with them to have something worthwhile to say so that you can then, you know, progress until you're able to ask for more.
Great. Yeah, you should write a book, Discover the 3 Secrets to Harass Your Media in Order to Get Exposed on Television. So that's a great idea.
I'm sure I'm not the only one doing this.
Yeah, no, it's true. But like, what you're doing is persistence is key here, obviously, because you want to be able to, like you said, you need 11 points of contact in order before you actually get someone calling you back. All right, now with this product, I know you probably took a risk by going out there creating this, and I know you were inspired by dreams. I know that. But what research did you do in order to know that this MoLoco idea was a winning idea?
Yeah, we did a lot of research. I mean, started with first of all researching the flip flop market or the thong market. Mm. Wanting to understand, you know, wanted to understand just, you know, how did this market work? And we're lucky because it's a fairly mature market, so there was quite a lot of research we could find. And so when we found that, you know, there was just it's an industry that's just growing every year by about 10%, and the fact that it was a very mature market, that gave me a lot of, you know, satisfaction knowing that. Then there was doing focus group testing with all sorts of people who we thought might be our target audiences, because with the product we actually have a very, very broad audience or audiences, you know, we can talk to. And then, of course, there was also looking at the whole area of social enterprise too, which is a fairly new area, and looking at what other people are doing in the area as well. So, you know, we looked at all of those things before considering going ahead.
Okay, that's very interesting. And was that a costly experiment, you know, getting people to, you know, the focus group and all that kind of stuff, or was it pretty much inexpensive?
No, not really, because, you know, I suppose I know a lot of people and that helps. And you know, and I'm always talking to people, you know, even strangers, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The guy at the local coffee shop, the guy I see running around in a pair of thongs at the gym, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we Aussies love our flip-flops, you know. We just, we're, it's a, It's a very, you know, warm climate here. I mean, it depends where you are, but a lot of people just get out there, just like to wear their flip-flops and just go for a walk, you know?
Well, this is right. It's part of, it's such an Australian icon, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I wanted to ask you something. I wanted to ask you, but I totally forgot. But anyway, I'll probably get back to a little later on.
All right.
Okay, that's right. And what about quality and durability of the flip-flop? I myself have gone through many, many, many pairs of flip-flops, you know.
What's your favorite brand, I should ask you?
Well,
right?
I've gone through many. My favorite brand at the time, I thought it was my favorite brand until they broke on me, was Crocs. Okay. And I bought a pair of Crocs and I go, fantastic. These are going to last me ages, you know, after going through Havana's and a few other different brands. And I went and bought these Crocs and 1 month later I was pushing my friend's boat, okay, onto my car, and they broke.
Wow, only after a month. Wow.
And they have something like a 3 month warranty. I just couldn't be bothered going back there, so I went back to the. Now I'm wearing. What am I wearing now? Actually, I'm wearing. I can't even. The print's gone, and I totally forgot. I just needed a pair, and it's quickly when I bought a pair
after that.
So yeah, I thought they were my favorite brand, but I've gone through many different Havianas.
And
Brazilian.
You didn't like those?
Well, I've broken them all. I don't know why. I'm a very rough walking guy. I've walked in the middle of a shopping center and it just broke on me. And I go,
oh,
damn,
no.
I've got no thong now. People are going to say, what, did you lose a thong? And I say, no, I found one.
I like that. Wow. Well, that's really interesting because, obviously we road tested a lot of the different products out there.
Yeah.
And Havianas have always come up as one of the strongest, most durable ones. So that's interesting.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe it's the way I walk.
I'm pretty hard on my feet too, I've got to say. So, you know, hopefully ours will stand the test of time, you know, because we've made them a little bit thicker than your average thong and a little bit more rigid to be able to take a little bit more wear and tear, you know. But, of course, some people are harder wearing on thongs and maybe you're one of those guys.
And how would you test that out? How would you go through that testing process in order to know if it's a top quality product or not?
Yeah, well, we actually employed a company which specialise in inspecting products.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. They did all these sort of technical tests. I don't, you know, it's all a bit too technical for me. But they would put it through, you know, the different tests in terms of looking at the flexibility, measuring things up, and it had to pass those tests, or they would reject it.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, we paid somebody to do that and they passed the test, so I figured that's okay.
That's fantastic. That's really cool. So you've done your due diligence. It's certainly not a product that, you know, that you just bring out like, which is dodgy. It's certainly gone through all the testing processes. You've got a focus group. So it's a really good quality product from what you're telling me. So,
Well, I think that's essential, right?
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
I got to tell you, before I started doing this, I had absolutely no idea how complex making a flip-flop could be. I thought, my God, it's just a flip-flop, you know. There's just two pieces to this thing. What, you know, it's got to be really simple.
Mm.
Anyway, I since found out it was not so simple.
A lot of engineering that goes behind these things, you know.
Well, there's a lot more engineering than I had expected, and I can tell you, while I'm still not the expert, I am definitely becoming more of a specialist in this area.
Yeah, wow. Okay, so if someone has an idea, Kathy, if someone has an idea and wants to create that idea, they want to get it out in the marketplace, just like you did with Moloco, what are the steps they need to implement in order to achieve this? Is it a huge process, or is it something that is a step-by-step guided process that you can probably talk us through?
Oh, look, I think most business ideas would require pretty much the same sort of process. You know, you've already spoken about a few of those things already, Ray, where you do your research, you know, establish if there is actually a marketplace for what you're looking at, which, you know, we've talked about, you can do that research through the internet, through talking to people who are in the industry,
yep.
You know, those sorts of areas. And then after you've done enough research to determine if there is actually indeed a market, you can then start looking at some focus group testing, although you do need to be able to have some sort of a mock-up, you know, or an idea to be able to get the best out of that situation. But, you know, you can do these things quite easily and cheaply even before going to focus group testing. As I said, you know, you can just talk to people on the street, friends, you know. And I've heard many people say that, you know, many very successful entrepreneurs say that the way they tested an idea is they want to test it very quickly before they invest, you know, heavily at all, any sort of time and money, and they'll do that very, very quickly before they then decide to take that next step.
Okay. What are some of the ways that test things out quickly? Is it just like quickly going out to focus groups or interviewing people or taking surveys?
Just talking, you know, to as many people as you can within those particular, within that particular industry that you're looking at, you know.
Yeah.
And if you don't know people, then you just put that message out there to find people through some of the channels, you know, and they eventually you'll find them. If you want anything bad enough, you'll find a way, won't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
So because I was like that myself, I thought, wow, I don't know anything about manufacturing. I don't have any background in retail. And then I just sat there and I made a list of people that I thought might know. And went to those people, and if they weren't able to help me, they were then able to pass me on to somebody else who might pass me on to somebody else, you know?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And eventually I got there and got all the information I needed. The other thing that I would say that was very important to me on this particular business was having a mentor.
Oh, okay. Talk to us about that.
You know, because I think any area that you're in, having a mentor is a very helpful thing because they can actually help guide you and help keep you focused, you know. In that initial stage, it's so easy to divert your energy into so many different directions and run around a bit like a loose cannon.
Yeah.
So having a mentor is very, very useful in keeping you on the right track.
Yeah, keeping your focus because we always deviate from our plans. As humans, we always go for the next best and shiniest thing. You know, that's what we do. I always say that focus stands for follow one course until successful, you know. And there's nothing wrong with quitting, you know. People always say, oh, you quit, you know, you gave up. But look, if an idea is not good, you know, there's nothing wrong with actually leaving that idea, quitting that idea, moving on to the next idea. You know, I mean, some people actually put a bad thing on quitting, and I tend to disagree with them a little bit. So, if you think an idea is not taken off, or you're wasting too much time on an idea, or you've tried every avenue, and then basically just move on. I mean, sometimes it's the best thing to do is go on to move on to the next idea. So now, will your methods or advice work only in fashion, or would it work in pretty much any area for anyone?
Oh, any area of business.
Yeah.
Is what I'm talking about. Yeah, this applies across the board. It doesn't matter what industry you're in. It doesn't matter if you're talking, you know, business to business or you're talking retail.
Yeah.
You know, the same principles apply.
Yeah, and just a question off the top of my head, how did you find the right manufacturer for actually bringing your – because I know you imported from China. Is that a tough thing to do or does it involve a lot of research?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's
the way you're laughing. You pretty much gave the answer away.
Otherwise, I'll cry. because, yeah, that was probably one of the most challenging areas. You know, you've got issues of you've got a very different culture that you're dealing with. I mean, I'm actually I have Chinese heritage. However, I was born in Australia. So, you know, I'm more like a banana. I don't know if you know that expression where I think like, you know, an Aussie. I'm so Aussie, but I look Chinese on the outside like a banana. And so, like a banana. You know, but dealing with my own people was a real education, I would say.
Yeah.
Because I've had to go to China because in Australia they don't manufacture flip-flops. And so China seems to be the place where, you know, the majority of these things are made. And what I discovered in dealing with the Chinese that everything is okay. You ask them, you know, 100 times the same question and everything is okay because they don't tell you what's really going on.
Oh, okay.
And it took me a little while to get that. And once I got that, I check in all the time. However, you still, you can check in and check in, and you'll still be stunned with something down the track.
How do you mean everything is okay? Like, give me an example of that.
Well, an example might be you've put in writing the deadline for something.
Oh.
And you've checked in, you know, months ahead. We had that experience with our own product. It was meant to be out in the marketplace a month sooner.
Mm-hmm.
And all along we'd had the, you know, schedules drawn up and written down, agreed to, and this was, you know, put in place months for months.
Yeah.
And then, you know, right at the last hour, no, the schedule was not going to be met.
Oh, dear. But everything's okay.
Oh, everything's okay.
Everything's all fine and dandy.
Yeah, everything's all fine and dandy. But these are just the little things. And, you know, there's a thing in Asian culture about face, not showing your true face.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean by having to read between the lines.
Mm, okay.
Yeah. So it makes – and, you know, of course, there was also the language issue.
Mm-hmm.
I had some very funny times with language, you know. But now, you know, we've resolved all these things. And so, you know, any relationship, a new business relationship, there's a getting to know of one another.
Yeah.
But in the case of dealing with a different culture, a different area, and you do – and you've got the distance, all of those things made it a lot more challenging than if I was dealing with, you know, an Australian company here in Australia.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, there's always that trade-off. I mean, look, even if there was an Australian company, you'd probably be paying a lot more and it'll eat into the costs.
Well, that would definitely be the case. And, you know, and therefore it would be harder to actually, you know, create something where we could give back.
Okay, great. Now, is patenting crucial for what you do?
Well, you know, that's a very good question because it's something that I'm dealing with at the moment and there's just enormous cost involved in patenting. So what I've done is I've patented the logo and the name of the business in Australia, and once you do that, you then have about 5 months before you have to patent in the other countries that you wish to, if you are wishing to operate in other countries, which we are.
Yeah.
And so I'm doing that just because of cash flow, you know.
Oh, okay.
Not having the funds to pay out all the patenting in one go, because it's very expensive.
Yeah.
And as I said, being, you know, a lean startup, those sorts of costs are just something that, you know, are difficult when you're trying to, when you've got so many other areas requiring financial resources behind them.
Yeah, okay. So what are we talking about in patenting costs? Is it like in the hundreds of thousands or is it?
Oh, no, it's not in the hundreds of thousands. I mean, you know, I'm still coming to terms with the final figures because the way in which it works is there's a certain fee that you pay for the application, you know, and then it takes about 7 months for the government to actually go through the process and decide if they're going to grant you the patent. And then when they grant you that patent, then there's another cost, and that's the questionable part.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That makes it so hard, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does make it hard. And so, you know, I'm still learning all about that, to be honest.
Yeah, and what are the consequences if you don't go through that process? I mean, it has to be done, right?
Well, you know, of course people can copy you, but, you know, the whole issue of copyright is also another minefield, you know, because there's a lot of, I suppose, there's a lot of suggestion that somebody can just simply take a design and make a few minor tweaks and can actually claim that as their own design, you know? And so you could go and spend a lot of money protecting a design and discover that it was really quite useless.
Mm.
So it's a very fine line as to how far you can go with this whole area of protecting your ideas and designs.
I can only imagine how much a company like Versace or Gucci would spend on patenting, you know, patenting stuff. I can only imagine how much money they spend. Like, I'm talking, you're probably talking about in the billions there or something.
I'd say you're talking really big money. But then, you know, those guys can now afford it.
Yeah, of course they can, of course. Yeah, absolutely. All right, so now you have been awesome. I've enjoyed talking to you, Kathy. You've provided some really cool information and some really cool information for people to get started. And maybe if they have an idea, they know where to go in implementing what you have taught them. So thank you very much for that. Now, if people want to know more about you, about Soul Republic and Moloco, where could they go to find out more and purchase some of your products?
Sure. Look, our website is the best place to find out more about us and also purchase on our online store. And that's just www.moloco, which is moeloco.com.
Fantastic. So that's www.moloco.com where they can go buy it. Sorry, I was trying to put that Latin accent on.
As you can say that beautifully, Ray, really beautifully.
Thank you very much. All right, so that's great. And what about social media? People want to contact you via social media, or where could they go?
Sure. Well, if they go onto our website, all the social media icons are there, and so they can just, hit one of those icons. They can go to Facebook. They can go to Instagram. We're on Pinterest. We're pretty much on all the platforms. So they can just select which platform they feel more comfortable with. But we mainly engage mostly on Facebook and Instagram at this stage.
Perfect. That's great. That's awesome. So thanks for jumping on, Kathy. Thanks for jumping on Big Fat Marketing. Really appreciate your time. And I look forward to actually chatting to you again. If you ever create a new product down the track, or, you know, an additional to Moloco, I'd love to have a chat to you again. You have been awesome. And thank you very much for jumping on Big Fat Marketing.
Oh, thank you, Ray. Look, thanks for having me. I really enjoyed talking to you. And look, when we get some of the thongs for men, I'll be talking to you, send you out a sample.
Oh, you're great. You're awesome. Thank you very much. And guys, if you want to watch any of the previous episodes of Big Fat Marketing, just go to www.bigfatmarketing.com to watch any of the previous episodes. Thank you, Kathy, and thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
Great. Thank you, Ray.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Ciao.